Welcome back to Soundtracks. You should have just passed the Athens-Washington County line. Having a farm of your own was once the American dream. It's a dream that brought millions of immigrants to America. That settled the continent, and that gave us many of our national characteristics. In 1900, over 60% of all Americans lived on a family farm. Today, that figure is less than 6%. But even though a ranch-style house and a bronco or colt has replaced 40 acres and a mule as our version of the American dream, country remains an important icon to Americans. There's country music, country cooking, and country living. Country living was not the simple life that we often picture it to be. These farms weren't built without a lot of hard work and perspiration. Even the children pitched in. Ada Goddard remembered how she spent her childhood.
Oh, go bring the cows in, carry water to the men in the field when they're working. I guess you learn to entertain yourself. Of course, I was right on the creek, and there was a sandbar down there. And I played down there in that sand by the hour, finding little shells and just digging the sand. It was like you going to the seashore, you know. I played down there in that.
Others, like Ermine Green, remember other childhood pursuits.
Deviling my mother's chickens. Just plaguing the chicken. Take a pint bottle, a square pint bottle, you know, and put corn in it. And the old hens would get out there and they just scratch that and whirl the bottle around. And the corn would come out, you know. At that time she'd get to it, some other chicken would get it. Oh, I had a lot of fun doing that.
Many of the people who settled in this area were Quakers. They had a strong influence in the region.
Quakers and others in the Bartlett area were also active in the Underground Railroad. Slaves escaping from Virginia would come across the river near Hockingport.
There was no West Virginia, it was Virginia. And so when the slaves escaped, when they got to the Ohio River, of course they were helping them all the way through. So they got to here. There was one down beyond Cutler where they would have hit them. And they hit him here. And then from here, I don't know where they went on. They got away from here anyway, but it would have been something that I suppose that most people knew about.
Appalachian Ohio is sprinkled with small towns like Bartlett. They started as farming communities. The general store and the post office became gathering spots. Then blacksmith shops, livery stables, and other businesses were built. Retired farmers would build a house, and before you knew it, it was a town. But important as towns were, the main industries here were the family farms.
Well, yes, that's the way people lived. They had their chickens and their cows, and they did sell some butter to the store. They'd sell it, and they'd put the butter in tubs and take it to Roxbury to the railroad and ship it. And they'd take their calves to market and sell their eggs. Didn't anybody have any great lot of money? You see, you had your flour and all that stuff, and you had your chickens.
Picked blackberries, drove team, sheared sheep. Started in pretty young doing it. I sheared sheep when I was 13 years old. That's hard work. Well, Jenny had 6 or 8 cows. I'd get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and milk them cows and get the milk on the milk button before 6 o'clock.
The washing, I think, was one of the worst things. Wash day, My mother got the fire going so she could boil the water in order to put the dirtiest clothes, and of course she made her own soap, and she chipped off the soap into this water.
In those days, we had maybe four or five groups of people, you know, those teams, getting the ground ready. You got to put in your corn. You can't wait too long because, you know, the weather catches up with you. So you got to get in early enough so that you'll mature before frost time, see.
As I plowed, as I farmed this farm here for several years, we tended our corn usually with one horse, a double shovel plow. Finally got to using five shovel plows, and went on that to a tractor, you know. I had to wash that horse when I plowed with him to keep him off the corn and to watch for Indian relics. The eyes were pretty busy.
The women all helped with the corn, the hay, go out and shock the hay, and then she'd come in and get stuff on the table.
I went with the station's crew. I was out 24 days.
Even when they put up their hay those days, it was all done loose. They'd make doodles, you know, and those days, your doodles, you know, your little haystack, you could almost take a level and fall right along. It was real straight, you know. It was just perfect.
We made jelly, we made pickles, we did all that sort of thing that had to be done, and there had to be enough of it to last through the hired men who came in, or anybody who came.
People didn't can a lot when I was a kid because it wouldn't keep. Mama dried apples, dried peaches. Now you could can blackberries and tomatoes. Any acid fruit would keep.
And Mom worked hard. In fact, one time, she said it more than once, but the one time I remember particularly, the men who were in here to shear said something to her, and she says, "Sometimes I think it'd be nice if I could be a sheep. Maybe I'd get a little attention too." So that is what that's what it was all about. It was sacrifice, but it wasn't poor me. It was sacrifice because they felt that they were aimed toward something.
The late 19th and early 20th centuries was farming's golden age. The farm family's life was centered around the farm. There was one building on the farm that was the most important, the barn. It was the center of the farm, but there was more than one type of barn.
Barn means in English, old Anglo-Saxon word means barley place. That's where the barley was kept, or the oats, or the wheat.
The early settlers in this area brought with them traditional methods of building barns. These different building styles reflected different types of agriculture.
New Englanders, for example, were, farming-wise, were livestock folk. Cattle and sheep. On the other hand, the Easterners, the Pennsylvania folk, were from Germany, from southwestern Germany. They came with a pretty good background in farming into Pennsylvania. They transferred this sort of thing into Ohio, mostly wheat farmers. Now, in turn, the Southerners, the Virginians, were totally different, totally different. And the Virginians' approach to farming is, it's not really farming, it's horticulture. You have a little patch of corn where you grow something that you're going to eat, and maybe you have a little patch of tobacco. You drive your animals into the woods and let them eat off the wilds there. But otherwise, farming is sort of a helter-skelter thing that really, to the Easterners, must have not looked as like farming.
These different styles are reflected in the types of barns that they built. The two predominant styles along this road are the Appalachian loft barn and the New England bank barn.
But when this barn came to America, the English built it here, they added very quickly stables for animals into it. So in America, the barn undergoes some change.
Other structures on the farm, the houses, summer kitchens, and various outbuildings, tell us more about the type of farming and the lifestyles of the people who lived here. Again, Hubert Wilhelm.
That's very typical in Appalachian Ohio, is that little banked root cellar and the smokehouse on top, where they hung the hams or the meat, and underneath is where they kept their potatoes and beets and turnips. And
canned goods, you know. But that's so typical, and quite often that upper part will project over the lower part, kind of an overhanging sort of thing.
The root cellar was usually directly behind the house for easy access from the kitchen. Alongside most barns, there is another building that's a clue to the type of farms the region had. Almost every farm has a small tile building near the road. These are the milk houses. They reflect increased government regulations that, in the early 20th century, were placed on the farmers. William Clark.
I start out Sharpsburg about 6 o'clock in the morning and pick up, by the time I got to Athens, I had 50 cans of milk. All those farms had 8 or 10 milk cows on them, and they produced maybe 10 gallons of milk or 15 gallons of milk every day. Now, that was one method of getting rid of the milk. And those that had just 2 or 3 cows would take their milk into the creamery. They'd save it until it was rotten and take it in.
The government started classifying milk to grade A, B, C. And if a farmer wanted to make some money, he would want to sell grade A, which is drink for drinking. And in order to sell grade A milk, then he had to have coolers and the right equipment. This was typical European agriculture. You did a little crop farming, you did a little dairying. And people never thought in terms of beef cattle. I mean, if you had cattle, you had dairy cows. And this was true in this area. Now this has totally changed.
This is checkpoint number 3. You should be passing the Barlow Rest Area. Once you are there, start the next track on the CD.